Good evening. I'm Pastor Joe Brazino, and I'm the minister here at Locust Grove Church. And we're going to continue along our Bible study series that we began, 3 months ago, I think it was. And it is God, the Holy Spirit. And last week, we explored the ministry of the Holy Spirit. To me, is my favorite one, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There are 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let me refresh your memory. It is fruit singular. It is not fruits, plural. It's not the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit singular. Okay? And why do I make mention of that? Why do I draw attention to that? Because the first one mentioned is the most important. Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, as we'll see shortly in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And then it goes on, and love is the mother of all the other 8 fruit of the Holy Spirit, okay? Out of love is born the other ones. And so so if you have your Bibles with you tonight, would you open them up with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to kind of look at our foundation text that will help us launch into discussing a couple more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to jump into verse 14. Notice what Paul the Apostle writes through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. How often does God lead us in triumph? Always. In Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I love that. Everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit will be diffusing the fragrance of Jesus Christ to others. Well, I love that thought. Everywhere I go, whether I'm, you know, the only places I can go right now is a convenience store and also go to the grocery store. That's about it. But wherever I'm at, I want to be gentle. I want to be polite. I want to be kind. I want to be a servant to others. I want to diffuse the fragrance of Jesus Christ to others. Don't you? You know, Psalm 133, verse 1, I believe that's it. It says, praise looks good on the upright, is comely on the upright. Praise looks good on you. Don't you want to be a person that when you open your lips, you open up and you encourage others and you say very loving things, you say very kind things, you exhibit self-control. Look, I'm not talking like one who's have a master, not at all. I am under construction, okay, as I'm sure we all are. But I want praise to go out to my God. You know, earlier today in the morning, I was out running 6 miles after I finished. I just began to thank God for the ability to run. For the ability to run that many miles. And for my health, I could thank God for that. You know, I'd much rather be known to be the positive guy than to be the person that's always griping and complaining. Have you ever been around people like that? You know, no matter how good life is for them, they'll find something negative to blow up and make a big deal about. Now, I don't want to believe that that's you. I'm going to believe the best about you. My friend, my sister, my brother, but it happens. And we want to make sure that we're diffusing the love of Jesus through our words, the faith of God through our words, encouragement, kindness when correction is needed, kindness. Amen? Okay, so he says here in verse 15, he says, we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So let me ask you, God desires this with our lives, that we be Christ to others. Are we making that deliberate effort? Or do we default to insecurities? Look, we're human. I'm human. I've got my share of insecurities. I got my share of baggage, okay? I'm telling you that right now. But thankfully, listen, I'm not the person I used to be, or I'm not the person I want to be, but thank God, by the grace of God, I'm not the person I used to be. And you can say that of yourself. So, you know, I'm not perfect, but, you know, I want to make a conscious effort to make sure that wherever I'm at, that I'm diffusing this fragrance that smells like Jesus to others, to Christians and to non-Christians. All right. I remember when I was in college, I was a young man and I was single, of course, foot loose, fancy free. There's a lot to be said for that. Hallelujah. And I was enamored with this chick. I don't know why. All my life, I've always have loved long distance relationships. But I lived in El Paso, Texas. I was going to college in Oklahoma, and this chick lived in Dallas, Texas. And she was coming into town to see me. And we really liked each other. We never formalized anything, but gosh, she was a beautiful girl and had that Texas slang, you know, so that was extra appealing to me at that time in my life. And when I heard that she was coming into town, well, I bought this cologne. It was Spendi cologne. It was one of the more popular scents back in the mid-80s. And so I remember, you know, in El Paso, it's a very dry climate. So I remember pouring it on to meet this girl. And, you know, no matter how much I poured on, because it was a dry climate, it wasn't really that strong. At first, it was a very nice smelling cologne. I think I spent $90 on it. Don't judge me. Exercise the fruit of the spirit. That's been the mid-80s, okay? So I used that to try to smell good for that girl. And then, you know, when I went back in the fall, that was in the summer, when I went back in the fall for the fall semester to school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, well, that's an entirely different climate. Well, I didn't stop pouring it on. I kept pouring it on. Well, you know what that did in a very humid climate? All that humidity carried that scent for miles, as it were. And I remember my roommate, he was a very cultured guy, came from a well-to-do family. He pulled me aside and he said, "Joe, let me talk to you about colognes." Apparently, he must have been bothered by my pouring the bottle on. I should have rationed it at that price. But he said, "Joe, you want to put just enough cologne to where when people get close to you, i.e., when ladies get close to you, they're the ones that can appreciate it." Wow, when he told me that, you know, it never left my mind. But, you know, I think it also holds water and holds true when we seek to practice the fragrance of Christ to those that come close enough. Shouldn't the people closest to us be the ones who smell the fragrance of Jesus on us, as it were? Shouldn't they experience our love for them, our joy, our peace, our long-suffering, our kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control? Shouldn't they be the ones the closest to us? And yes, even the non-believers, they should see our patience. You know, the book of Philippians chapter 4 says, "Let your goodness be known to all men." It's a very profound scripture. Let your goodness, that word in the Greek is hard to define because it doesn't just have one dimension definition. It is multi-dimension. It means goodness, it means integrity, it means kindness, it means generosity, it means magnanimity, to use a big word in the English language. People want to see your kind nature, your good nature, to be good-natured with others. Let your goodness be known to all men. That's what Philippians 4 says. And so I want to encourage us, church family, let your goodness, let the fragrance of Christ be known to everybody in your life. Amen? Be humble. Love people actively. Don't wait for them to come to you. You go to them. You take the initiative. Love on them. Encourage them. All right? Go with me to Galatians chapter 5, please. So we're diffusing the fragrance of Christ, and we can say, as I said last week, you know, these are the fruit of the Spirit, but it could also be called the fragrance of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we do that with other people, wow, we begin to bless people. We begin to be Jesus to other people. You know, back in the 90s, there was a big campaign to sell all of these wristbands that had initials of WWJD. What would Jesus do? It's a great question for us to ask ourselves in circumstance, in real life presentations and situations where we are faced with something. And the best question to ask is, what would Jesus do in this situation? And you know, church family, sometimes I don't think we know what Jesus would do because we don't know about him. We don't know him as much as we need to. Are we in the Word? Are we studying his life? Are we seeing his reactions, his actions, his love? You know, when I first started reading the Bible when I was 16, wow, it's a long time ago. But, you know, I used to read the words of Christ as very angry, and I never saw the love in those words. But now at 54, you know, I see a lot of love in those words. Wow, I see a lot of patience. I see a lot of kindness. I see a lot of gentleness. My thoughts, my ideals of Jesus have shifted tremendously, because I'd like to think that maybe between then and now I've grown maybe just a little bit. I pray. You know, so if you're here in Galatians chapter 5, let's jump into verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Stop there. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is the mother of all the other eight attributes or fruit of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Because all these others come from the love of Jesus. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I believe it's verse 8, he said, now abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So that's what we're looking at here, okay? And last week we looked at the love of God, just merely a snapshot of it. But so let's go to the next one, the next two, okay? Joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. I love that. It's a Greek word, chara. Chara. Okay? And it means an inner happiness and inner contentedness that is independent of external circumstance. Are you happy every day? You know, I'll be honest with you, not all days provide us reasons to be happy. But I discovered a long time ago, you know, that that happiness and joy is a choice. Are we practicing joy in our lives? Well, Pastor Joe, I don't have anything to be joyful about, you know. This stinks, this stinks, this stinks. I'm tired of being cooped up at home. Okay, I get it. Tired of the stock market going up and down and up and down and not up as it should be. You know, what my portfolio is not looking very good right now. Okay, cool. But you know what? You have a Savior who loves you and is caring for you during this time. Yes, I said caring for you. And he is on your side and he's taking care of you and he's protecting you and he's watching your kids' lives and your spouse's life as well. So we need to be thankful and see the good in every day. Joy sees the good in every day. Joy finds reasons to be happy about that are beyond external circumstances. If you don't believe that, you know, read the book of Philippians. It's only four chapters long. Paul wrote that from a prison, a dungeon, where the sewage came up to his knees. Okay? And he mentions the word joy, rejoice, a number. It's over 30 times in that book. Could you say that Paul the Apostle was joyful? I mean, he was standing in a cesspool of human waste. And yet, he said, make my joy complete, come see me. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, Philippians chapter 4. Amazing, amazing. Joy is a choice. Next one, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The Greek word is eirene, for peace. And it basically means, listen, a wholeness, an inner harmony of your thoughts and your spirit being one. Okay, what I mean by that is you're not easily troubled by all the stuff. You know, there's a, I can't remember what specific psalm it is in the book of Psalms, but it says that when a person loves God and is consumed with the thoughts of God, that no evil report will rattle them or shake them. Wow. I love that. Are you like that? Do you have God's peace? How can we rest in God's peace? You know, because the peace is anchored with this premise that there's an overarching confidence in the sovereignty of God. That means that God is ultimately, he might not be directly in control, but he is ultimately in control. And every vile thing that's playing out right now, that evil virus from the pit of hell, I'm not calling Wuhan, China, the pit of hell, but that's taking the lives of countless, there's a limit to that. God doesn't let things like that go on endlessly. Look at history, the bubonic plague, the Spanish flu, H1N1, the bird flu. I mean, you can go on and on, you know, the Nile virus, we can go on, whatever. But I'm telling you, church family, God is in control, and that's where we draw our peace from. This is a fruit that we need to see in more and more of God's people. A scared world needs to see a peaceful church. Jesus said in John chapter 16, he said, in the world you will have pressure. But then he went on to say, in me you will have peace. I love that. In the world you're going to have pressure, but in me you're going to have peace. Well, you know, I don't consider the fruit of the Spirit of peace to be a mood. Peace is not determined by my mood. Whether I'm cranky, whether I'm happy, whether I'm joyful, whether this or that. No, peace is a constant. Peace does not hitch itself or latch itself onto the host of a mood. No, it is a spiritual force. It's a spiritual fruit that is developed in us, that keeps us calm, that keeps us believing, that keeps us on our knees. Yes, on our knees. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4, please. Just take a ride from Galatians. Philippians chapter 4. I love this passage. He says, verse 6, be anxious for how much? Nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Do we complain? Do we fret? Do we wring our hands? Do we say, I wonder, what if? Yeah, but. I've figured out that some of God's sheep are kind of hybrids. They are half sheep, half goats, because they're always budding everything, every encouragement from God's word. So it says here, let your request be made known to God. And notice verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love that promise. So I've come up with a little saying that helps me, keeps me on track. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. I call it WANPAE, WANPAE. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. That's a little thing that I use, a little device that I use in my mind for myself, in my life. When I'm facing stress, when I'm facing pressure, you know, I get down on my knees and I ask the Lord. I said, Lord, this is what's bugging me. Lord, you got to help me. Give me peace, Lord. And I've got to be willing to let that, leave that thing with the Lord. Yoo-hoo. Aren't we all Indian givers to the Lord with our troubles? We give it and then we take it back. We give it and then we take it back. Listen, there's peace available. It is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. So let's exercise it and let's practice that by praying about everything and worrying about nothing. Let's close and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you for your word, which is rich. It's a living thing. It is alive. Quick, sharper than any double-edged sword. I thank you, Father, for ministering to your people, instilling them with joy, instilling them with peace, Lord God. Thank you for this abiding peace in their souls, in their spirits. that guards their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We thank you for that. Amen.